commend you for choosing this track. I'm excited about the potential of having all of you finish the NAINC certification process and join the 600 and now, I think, 70 NAINC certified counselors serving Christ around the world. We just have had completed our best year ever with certification. If I had been talking to you when I did talk to this class a year ago, I was rejoicing the fact that we'd had 68 people complete the NAINC certification process, and we've had some changes in our staffing and some aligning people and little different tracks of responsibilities and so forth, and we've really given ourselves to it. This last year, we had 103 people complete NAINC certification. We're really thrilled with that. You'll notice some of those people walking around, they're the ones with the big smiles on their face. And as you talk to them, it's just obvious the power of God is on their lives, you know. So we want you to join that august group. We're excited about you doing this. You do realize, don't you, that what you're experiencing, have been experiencing this week, is really a unique blessing. I can tell you there are people all across the United States that have dreamed for something like this in days gone by. And for most of us that are NAINC certified, it was just a matter of, you know, gutting it out ourselves by or maybe with somebody else. And we didn't get the benefit of all this wonderful interaction and that you're getting not just with each other, but from your instructors and so forth. And so it's a great thing. And I remind you that to whom much is given, much is required. So I hope you'll purpose to move right on through the process. We're talking today about critical concepts in the process of counseling. We're going to focus our attention on some of the questions in the NAINC counselor's exam. Before we do that, I'd like to lead us in prayer and ask for God's help. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. And Lord, we just pause to rejoice again that most of us get to live here in the United States of America, where we enjoy the freedom together like this, to open our Bibles, to study, to interact with other Christians without fear of reprisal. And we just thank you for that. And I do pray for our troops that are protecting us around the world and those in the leadership in our country, that you give them great wisdom and discernment. And now, Father, I pray that you'd help us as we think about some of this, the methodology of counseling. Help us to think clearly and precisely. And Lord, what I'm hearing from others that I'm talking to, just like after 9/11, there was a spike in interest in biblical counseling. And now with all the unemployment, the economic uncertainty, all that's happening in our country, there just seems to be a greater openness to you, to your word, and we have greater opportunities than ever before. So help us to be wise stewards of these opportunities that are in front of us. Help us to be wise stewards even of what we're getting in this class. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. All right, if you'll find your notes that are called Crucial Concepts in the Process of Counseling, let me just read this opening couple paragraphs because it sets the stage for what we're going to do and a couple things I want to emphasize to you. The entire NAINC certification process is designed to help you grow in your skills as a biblical counselor. The theology exam is intended to not only deepen your understanding of God and His Word, but to help you communicate those truths in a clear, precise, accurate manner. The counselor's exam targets your understanding of the process of actually doing counseling. People who can write about the various aspects of the process in a clear, precise, accurate manner will be better counselors than people who speak of the process in fuzzy, ambiguous terms. Now, what we're going to deal with in this session are six of the counselor exam questions to which applicants frequently give unacceptable answers. In other words, these are six where we polled our graders and said, of all the ones that the exams you grade, where are the ones that they typically miss it? All right? That's what we're talking about today in this one. All right? We're trying to just give you a heads up on these. These are six of the counselor's exam questions to which applicants frequently give unacceptable answers. In this session, we're going to consider each question and make suggestions on how they best can be answered. And I would remind you, put a star beside this one. Our graders are looking for answers that are clear, precise, and accurate, and that demonstrate a depth of understanding regarding the process of counseling. And I hope you've noticed, as just we went over those paragraphs, there's some words being repeated. Clear, precise, accurate, the process of counseling. Last night, during the topic options night, across the hallway, we did the one on how to become NAINC certified. And one of the questions came up was, in the supervision phase, do you only have to do 50 hours of counseling? My answer was, well, that's what typically happens, but there are times when the supervisor will say that even after 50 hours of supervision, the person is not where they ought to be on the process of counseling, which leads me to say, you can write a great exam. You know, you may be good in private typing answers to questions. You may be lousy in a room with somebody sitting across from you crying. Right? So you understand, we're making a shift here from what you've been studying earlier in the week about the theology, the theological undergirdings and the biblical principles and so forth. Now we're trying to talk about, okay, how do you take all that and what does it look like in the room when you're at the restaurant or you got somebody across from you at your kitchen table? How does that work out, the process of counseling? And again, I just want to emphasize that just because you got it up here doesn't mean it comes out well. All right, but the whole process is designed to help you to grow in your skills and abilities. Okay, so let's jump in, deal with six of these questions. Okay, here we go. Question number three is on the counselor's exam. What are some of the important needs of the first session? Our graders tell me that typically everyone will list the six key elements in the counseling process. And the number may vary depending on where you've been trained, but people typically will say there's five or six key elements in the counseling process. At NANC events, we teach that there are six. I think that's what's being taught here now too. First of all, you know, you must gather data. And gathering data can be done in at least, you know, five different ways, but you've got to gather information from people. Number two, you must discern the problems. Number three, you must gain involvement. Number four, you must gather data, discern the problems, gain involvement, build hope, provide teaching, and assign homework. Depending on, again, where you've been taught, everybody has been taught either five or six. What I want to encourage you to do is, in your answer, to talk about each of those. In other words, just don't mention what are the important needs of the first session. Just don't say gather data, but talk about, okay, how you might do that. And, you know, you can gather data through, you know, like the PDI forms, the personal data inventory sheets. You can gather data through the basic information sheets, what a lot of us call the pink sheet. You know, it's got five key questions on it. You can gather data through extensive and intensive probing, and you need to define those, all right? And again, what the counselor, the graders are looking for are not just answers that are clear and precise, but we want answers that demonstrate a depth of understanding the process. In other words, just don't read back the five-point or six-point outline to them, but they want to know that you know what that means to discern the problems, or you have some ideas about what it means to build involvement or to give hope. So it's good to list them and explain each of those separately. One person who was instructed to do a rewrite, their answer was, question is, what are some of the important needs of the first session? The answer was, I try to learn about the person and encourage them and give them homework before they leave. Well, that's neither clear nor precise, and certainly does not demonstrate a depth of understanding about what's going to take place in the first session. All right? So explain the key elements and explain them in such a way that the grader knows you understand the concept. You can do more than just copy notes out of an outline. Now, if you want some help on these, one area where you can certainly get a good bit of help is the Christian Counselor's Manual. Pages 228 and following deal with that. Christian Counselor's Manual is very, very helpful. That book would be certainly one of my top 10 that have influenced me the most in my life and my ministry. I mean, this is the Christian Counselor's Manual. If you're not familiar with it, this is the thick one that Jay wrote. Very, very good. I really recommend that. Another one that is really good in dealing with these issues is Instruments in the Redeemer's Hands. And he's particularly good, I think, about getting to heart issues, you know, discerning what are the real problems. Great section in here on homework. If you've not read this, this is one of the books I strongly recommend for Instruments in the Redeemer's Hands by Paul Tripp. There's another one. This is a book from the past.